So, Philippians. So I'm just going to remind you a little bit about Philippians. Because sometimes we can come to the Bible and we'll think, oh, it's great text, blah, blah, blah. But this is a real letter set in time to real people from one guy. So imagine this was sent to us as Trinity. All right. So instead of Philippians, imagine it said to Trinity Barnett. Okay. What does the letter say? Right? That's how we've got to think about it. Remember, Duncan talked about us at the beginning, chapter 1. Paul is in prison. So he's 1,000 miles away from these people. And his only way of communicating is this letter. Paul had founded this church, and he'd been with them. And so he loved them. He'd got an intimate relationship. Imagine that Duncan, we don't want this, right, is taken to prison and is 1,000 miles away. We would feel that, yeah? Right, we love him. He's part of us. And he feels for us. He's stuck in prison, and he feels for us. So he's writing this letter, and you've seen chapter 1, it talks about be united. He hears of disunity. In chapter 2, he goes on, and he sets this wonderful passage about Jesus. Remember a couple of times we've preached about Jesus, how he came down from heaven, became a man, suffered on a cross, died for our sins, and then God exalted him. All right? So that's the context. So when we come to this bit, where God starts talking about shining like stars, we need to remember everything that's gone before. All right? Because there's a danger that we can take this as a kind of list. You've got to do this, this, and this. And it becomes not grace. Duncan talked about we love grace. We love the fact that we are saved by grace. We don't want to end up with a list of do's and don'ts. So as I read this passage, remember that God's Son died for you and me. And it's about grace. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. So from verse 12 in chapter 2. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the fervorance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Father, I pray, will you come and open more of your spirit, more of your word to us. Let us understand what it means to shine for you in this world. Let us know that it's not of us, but it's all about you, Jesus, as we shine, reflecting your glory. Amen. Do you ever let Jesus down? As someone honest, I mean, I put my hand up. I do all the time. Right? This week, I broke one of the passages in here. It says, verse 14, don't go grumbling and complaining and disputing. And I had this tiny thing at work that was just a bit frustrating. And so I just found myself grumbling and complaining and thought, actually, that's not right. I shouldn't do it. Anyone else grumble? If Jill was really honest, she'd say, actually, this is really... Dave was talking about, you know, where are the things you struggle with? This is the one I really struggle with, grumbling and complaining. Any teenagers grumble about their teachers? They just can't teach. Jerry's laughing because he's ahead. All right, come on, does anyone else grumble? Like, the weather. How you doing with the weather? Duncan says, no, he doesn't grumble. That's okay. Or have you ever had that awkward moment at work where you've said something and you think, I shouldn't have said that. And someone from over the partition, I don't know whether you work in open plan offices. I tend to work in offices that are open plan. And somebody says, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, what? That hurts. Oh, no. I'll let you down, God. But this verse, can we jump one on? Sorry, Jonathan, I didn't realise where you were. It doesn't say, if you do this list of things, you're a light. It doesn't say that. It's not trying to say that. It says, you are a light. So where you go, you are a light. What have I got in here? I should remember. Okay. It doesn't shine very brightly in here. Can you see my torch? Yeah. You're a light. Whether you think you're a good light or a bright light, doesn't matter. But the point is, it's contrast with the world. And our world, frankly, is a pretty dark place. There isn't much in terms of truth and openness. There isn't much of Jesus in the world. And Paul's saying, this is the contrast. Other translations, you've got the NIV and places like that. We'll talk about shining as stars in the universe. Matt Redman wrote that wonderful song about shining as stars in the universe. A star is in the midst of blackness, darkness. There's nothing there. And that's kind of the picture, the image that he's trying to give us. Our world is dark and you shine. You might not think, I mean, particularly in this light, it doesn't look very bright, does it? But imagine we turned all the lights out. Would this rather small torch look quite bright? It would. And when you're struggling with something, you are a light. I say it was a real letter written to real people. So let's look at some of the people that would have got the letter. The Philippians. So if we jump to the next one. If you read Acts 16, you don't know everyone. We don't know, you know, was there a Jerry there? Was there an Andy there? Was there a Pete there? We don't know all the Philippians, but we know... Probably there were these three. The first one is a slave girl. You read in Acts 16, she was like the first convert, one of the first converts in Philippi. It says she had a demon inside her, and by which she could predict the future. So she was a slave, and she did fortune telling. So, picking up my poor wife, Jill thinks, I want to know what's happening tomorrow. So he pays some money, and the slave girl predicts the future for her. And she had a really interesting characteristic because Satan and his demons know the truth. So as Paul's walking along each day, she shouts out, "The men are telling you the truth, how you might be saved." Interesting for a demon. Right? Eventually it says Paul got fed up and just said, "In Jesus' name, I cast the spirit out." And she's healed like that. And she said, "Whoa." She's one of the first converts. Paul does something good, and as sometimes happens, you do something good, the world doesn't like it, so he gets thrown in jail. The next convert is this Philippian jailer. And Paul and Barnabas are singing in prison, and if you read it all in Acts 16, I'm going to precede version, right? They're singing in prison, and there's an earthquake, the doors fly open, all the chains fall off, all the prisoners are free, and the jailer is about to kill himself, because he knows if he doesn't, he's going to get killed anyway. And Paul says, don't do that, we're all here. All the prisoners are still there. And the jailer has this great statement. I love it. If anyone ever asks you this, this is my favourite. I'm waiting for someone to say this. What must I do to be saved? Would you like that? Right? John, we were talking at breakfast yesterday. You were talking about seeing someone in the street. And was it you said, Jesus loves you? You just said that to someone. And the guy walked on. And then a few minutes later, he turned around and said, what's that? What was that about? Do you know, sometimes you just say something quick and God will use it. The earthquake happened. The jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Be ready with the answer. Right? So he's there. And he was kind of a public servant, middle class guy. Third person is a woman called Lydia. Lydia is a rich businesswoman. It says she was a dealer in purple cloth. All right? Now you need to think about it. Purple was the colour of the Caesars. It was the real rich colour. Okay? It was expensive. If she dealt in this expensive cloth, do you think she made a bit of money? Yeah. This woman was filthy rich. Okay? I know they're not popular right now. She's a banker in today's society, okay? She's just got the £1 million bonus. She is really, really rich. Would you like a £1 million bonus? Anyone? Yeah? No, you're not bothered. Okay. She is filthy rich. So you have a slave woman to the richest of richest. And this is the church. And it's the church today. It's unique. The church is for everybody. It's not just for anyone. Now, he says, you shine. As is the way with the Bible, I don't think Paul necessarily thought, I'm going to give you examples. But the second half of this passage, going on from kind of verse 16 onwards, he highlights two characters. If in your Bibles, you might have the sort of second part of this titled Timothy and Epaphroditus. If you've got an NIV, it might say that in your Bible. So we're going to look at one of these guys. This guy Epaphroditus. Who is he? Why is he in the Bible? Like, why is he in Rome over there, far left as you look, and he's come from that A over there. That's roughly where Philippi is. What's he doing in Rome? And why is he nearly dead? Okay. If you read chapter 4, you find out about Epaphroditus. The Philippians, imagine that we sent Duncan off for an apostolic tour to church plant. Someone has to pay for him. All right? That is effectively what the Philippians did. They funded Paul. And he went on these different missionary journeys, and they funded him. And then at some point, they stopped funding him. He went off on his own. I know he went somewhere else. Da, da, da. They stopped funding him. But it says in chapter 4, verse 10, they had renewed their interest in Paul. All right? So they'd started to send money to him. All right? Now, today, anyone got these sort of mobile phones? I've done with my phone, but anyone got these mobile phone apps where you pay for things? All right? No one's owning up to it anyway. Yeah? Yes, some? Okay, thank you. All right? Or you get out your credit card. Okay? I want to pay something. So I want to send some money to Duncan. So I send a money transfer, I send him a check, whatever, da da. Right, we go back 2,000 years. How do you send money to someone 1,000 miles away? Pigeons. Right? I like pigeons. Pigeons would be good. Well, the problem is, you need good old coins. Right? And you need some poor mug, some great servant of God, to carry the coins. Okay? So Epaphroditus, he had this great strength. He could walk. He was a postman. Okay? That's what he did. So you can imagine, he picks up his bag, All right. Hopefully mine won't all fall apart. And he loads up his bag, and he's walking down a road, and he's doing about 20 miles a day, maybe. Now, if he goes directly across, it's 800 miles on a sea journey, and as he's walking down the road, he's going like this. He's rattling, because he's got a bag of coins in his back. Now, whilst Rome was relatively safe, do you think there were chances of the odd thief around? Coming up and saying, hey mate, what you got in that bag? Oh, nothing. Seems very heavy. Oh no, it's okay, nothing in the bag. I mean, he says he risked his life. All right? Well, what did he do? What was he? He was a postman. And he carried the offering for Paul. And if you look in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 18, it says, I have received the offering you sent from the hand of Epaphroditus. So he says, this guy's walked 1,000 miles, or 800 miles. It depends, if he walked around the top, it's a good 1,000 miles. So you can go just by land, but it's a long walk. And we're not talking, you know, as much as we moan about the roads in Barnet, we're not talking a nice tarmac road. It's dusty, it's compact, it's dirty, it's hard work. Okay? Verses 25 to 30 talk about the fact he nearly died. I don't know, did he get attacked? Don't know, it doesn't say. But at some point he got sick. So whether he just got worn out from walking all that way, whether he contracted an illness, we don't know. Somehow word gets back to Philippi and they're all worried. So that verses 25 to 30 is talking about how worried they all are about each other. He's there. And Paul says, he shines like a star. Why? Because he could walk, because he carried, he served God. Next one. I'm going back. So we're going back just before 25. And verse 20 talks about this guy, Timothy. You got Timothy? Yeah. Now, Timothy, he's a bit timid. And I'll explain that in a minute. But Paul says he has no one else like him. He says, he served with me like a son serves with a father. There's no one like Timothy. He is my kindred spirit. He has proven his worth to serve with Paul in verse 22. This is chapter 2, by the way, if you're trying to take notes. But it seems Timothy's held up as this fantastic example, but it seems there's this aspect of him that he was a bit fearful. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, I'm sending Timothy to you, but make sure he's not afraid of anything. Well, why would he say that? Sorry, Tim. Well, apparently he was a bit prone to fear. He's held up by Paul as this great example, and Paul says, he's a fantastic guy, but he gets a bit timid sometimes. He also was sickly. So if you read 1 Timothy 5, it says, take a little wine for your stomach. I thought I'd try and keep you awake. I'd try and find a wine bottle somewhere. So he says, have a bit of wine. Take a bit of wine in it. What? There's a bit of practicality here. Why did they have wine with their in those days? Right. Well, water wasn't so good. Water wasn't necessarily so pure. So put a bit of wine in it, purifies the water. So it was practical as well as, you know, actually good advice. A bit of wine's good for you. If anyone doesn't like it, okay. It says, take some wine for your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Maybe he was one of these people that just gets anxious. You can put these two together and you can say, well, he was a bit timid, he was a bit, and he's got anxiety problems. I don't like this, it's all frightening, it's a bit too much. But he's held up by Paul as this fantastic guy. Now, this should be encouraging to you. Because none of these guys are perfect, but they're still lights. They still shine like lights in the star, in the world. They're still held up as great examples to us. Why? Well, let's look. We got the next one? Trinity lights. You're all lights. Zoe, you're a light. Jackie, you're a light. Joe, you're a light. You're all lights. Do you feel like lights? Do you feel special? You don't feel very special. Do you feel special?
Yeah.
Not sure. Duncan's does, but not sure. Do you have things in the past that you struggle with, like that slave girl? Things that, I mean, I do. Things I wish I'd never done. Things that are hard. I mean, I can tick all these, except for working in public service, but, you know. Do you work, are you a public servant? Is that where you work? Do you work in business, like me? I was talking to a guy who happens to now be my boss, and we were talking, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, I went to church, it was good, da, 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 da. And we were talking, and he said to me out of the blue, he said, don't get many people like you in business. And I wasn't quite sure what he meant at first. I mean, you know, you're a bit ugly. I don't know what he meant. So, you know, whatever it was. So I don't quite understand. He said, oh, Christians. And I thought, do you know what? He's right. I don't know any other Christians in my company. I work for a lovely company. I work in a great place. But you know what? Am I the only Christian there? I don't know. But I don't know many others. And that makes it relatively a dark place. There's nothing wrong with my company. I like it. I'm blessed working for a good company. But maybe I'm the only one. Where's Chris? Where's Chris? Sorry to pick on you. Do you know any other Christians in your company?
Yeah, two.
You do? Okay. You do work in a big company, but yeah. Are there many? No. Lydia's there. She is filthy rich. She's in a big business. She'd be kind of like one of the bankers getting the $1 million bonus. Imagine there was a Christian who gets the $1 million bonus. Imagine what they could do with it. You know, I'd love to get a $1 million bonus. Not because I want $1 million, but think what I could do with it in the kingdom. Or what someone else could do with it, because I'd be too busy. But yeah, think about it. Do you ever get sick? You got sickness today, maybe. Aches and pains and tummy troubles and goodness, oh, whatever. Do you ever get that? No? No one else gets sick? Only just me? Okay, fair enough. Well, Maria, I know, shines in the darkness. All right? Is that fair? You struggle with things. Life's hard sometimes. You get sick. But you do your best to go, it's okay. Jesus still loves me. Jesus still loves me. Are you a bit like Epaphroditus? Can you walk? Anyone able to walk? Again, is it only me? But you know what it says? What that says is you can serve. You can be a light. Are you a bit timid, frightened, fearful? Is it just, do you ever get frightened of things? I do. Different things. Just jump to the last one. What I don't want you to go away with is feeling like you've got to do lots of things. And I feel very grateful today that we're going to be able to go back to a time of worship. Because the first thing is that it isn't about a set of rules. Being a light is about a relationship with Jesus. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with others. So when we get Terry coming down here, Terry, the whole New Frontiers was founded on relationship. It's about relationships, being in relationship with God, being in relationship with one another. I loved the men's breakfast yesterday. Breakfast was great. But you know what was better? Just being there with other guys, chatting about all sorts of stuff and finding out about things and meeting Tim and finding out about what Tim was doing and where he was and what he was, you know. Meeting John and finding out he got ops coming up. It's like, it was great. You know, pray for one another, meet with one another. But here's my torch. Now it's still on. And Jerry looks puzzled. Is it still on, Jerry?
It is, yeah.
It is still on. But it's a bit pathetic, isn't it? Does it look a bit pathetic? Yeah? Thank you, Jackie, thank you. Well, so I did choose a wind-up torch because I think it's a great illustration of the problem of our life. It shines. It shines. Now, it could have been a battery, but I wouldn't have known a battery was going to run down, but I know this was going to run down, right? It shines. You can see it now, I hope. Great picture. If I want to shine in the world, I need to get wound up. No. If I want to get shining like Pete in the world, is it? You can now see it, I hope. Yeah, you can see it. Right. What do I need? Michelle, thank you. I need recharging. How do I get recharged? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Alan. Guys, do you want to come do the rest? This is brilliant. That's what it's about. We shine because we're full of the Spirit, and we need recharging. Like this torch. Some of you think, why has he got that manky old torch? Because that's what I need. I need recharging. I need to get back into God's presence. And that's where we're going to go now. And I want you to enjoy God. Get recharged. We've got a chance now to spend about half an hour just enjoying God. Getting filled with his presence. And one of the things as elders, as Duncan shared with us, we need the presence of God in our lives. We need to be filled with his presence. And I encourage you, in the next, I don't know if the band want to start coming back, just spend the next half hour enjoying God's presence. And if you've got things in your life you think, if you're like me, you spend too much time grumbling, repent. Very simple. Sorry, God, I spend too much time grumbling. I spend too much time complaining. But come back and receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Enjoy it. If there's something big, get someone to pray with you. I don't know, tap someone on the shoulder or come down to the front for prayer ministry and we'll pray for you. I've got one other thing. Sometimes we struggle to do things on our own. Paul was stuck in a prison and he had those guys with him. He had Timothy with him, alongside him, helping him to still shine when things were tough. And if you're not, if you don't have others, you don't have other Christians with you, alongside you, I encourage you, get in a community group. Come and talk to me or Duncan or someone else. Get connected in with others because they help you shine. When things are hard, when things are tough, we help one another. Let's worship. Lord Jesus, I thank you that it is nothing about us, but it is everything about you. And we long to shine as lights in a world, in a dark world. And we will shine when we're recharged by the presence of your Spirit, when we're recharged in the presence of you, Lord. And we come now and we ask you, fill this place with your Spirit. Fill us again, Lord. Keep on filling us again and again as we worship you, Lord Jesus. As the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we praise you.